this is a talk about intimacy, because you know, whenever it is uniquely hard and it's good, that involves intimacy. So what I want to do first is I just want to open it up with prayer. But what I want to do in this prayer, as you close your eyes, I want you to follow me with, follow my words. Follow me where I'm taking us. So if you'll close your eyes. Father, right now we just enter into the throne room. And Father, we see you seated upon the throne. We see Jesus standing at your right side. You both are looking at us with love. We are washed with love. Father, I don't want this to just be another time, another session, another event. Father, I want us to be in the throne room with you. I want this to be a time where we are sitting at your feet, enjoying your presence. And though it may be uniquely hard, we may be standing in uniquely hard times. We stand before our Father with our feet planted firmly, declaring, "It is good. It is good." Touch our hearts this morning. And Father, we dedicate this time to you. That's what we're here for. It's all about you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So, excuse the tears. I'm an emotional person. I'm going to introduce you to myself just a little bit. Nancy gave an introduction. I'm also a very transparent person. The title that I'm talking about, I am speaking of from a uniquely hard position right now in my life. But it's good. Anybody in here that's a parent knows about uniquely hard times. I have an 18-year-old and a 23-year-old. Help me, Jesus, is the prayer every single day. In tears, in declaration, in shouts and screams, help me, Jesus. So I'm born and raised here in Oconee County. I know you can't tell by the accent, right? You thought I was from Alaska. Nope. Born and raised right here in Seneca, South Carolina. This is my home church. United is my home church. I do staff development here. I've been on staff for about a year now. I really enjoy it. I've been in ministry for a little over 15 years. I've done kids ministry. I've done youth ministry. I was the executive director at Foothills Pregnancy Care Center for several years. If you don't know what a pregnancy care center is, we stand up for life. We stand in the gap between unborn children losing their lives. So I was blessed to be part of that ministry. Father called me away from that ministry about 5 years ago. That was very uniquely hard but good. He called me away from that ministry, and he got me active here, and he got me active in prison ministry. And that has been such a blessing in my life. So many people look at me, and they're like, "You go into the prison? Why are you going into the prison? They deserve to be there. They've done things. They should be there. Why are you going in?" Because Father said so. That's all I need to say. I don't have to explain that it is one of the most beautiful experiences that I've ever had. I go because my Father says so. I think one of the most impactful moments that I've had thus far was just a few weeks ago with one of the prisoners. We talk about intimacy with Jesus Christ. And we were talking about intimacy, and we were talking about praying and hearing the voice of the Father. And one of the prisoners looked at me and she said, "But what if you don't talk to him?" Okay. Tell me more. She said, "He took my two children. I'm in here for 42 years. I don't talk to him." Okay. Tell me more. See, it's not about like what I have to say. It's about her getting that out. You have to meet people in uniquely hard times and allow the goodness of Father to flow. And she came in the midst, and we loved on her, and we prayed for her, and we lifted her up, and she felt the arms of her Father around her. Her name is Holly. And I just ask that all of y'all be praying for Holly, because Father is in hot pursuit of Holly, and I'm ready for him to catch her. And as well, please pray for Leith Correctional Institute in Greenwood. We are expecting a move of God in that place. We are expecting revival in that place. I tell the ladies all the time, I am not here as a minister to come in here to minister to you. I am here to equip the ministers. There are priests, there are apostles, there are prophets sitting in there with life sentences, and it's time for them to be released. So I just ask that you partner with me in that. So, conferences can be an amazing, amazing time, but it can also feel like you are drinking from a fire hose. You get so overwhelmed with information. So right now, I just want you to take a deep breath and just say, Father, I trust you, and Father, I'm ready. Because that's what this is about. So many times we can come in these atmospheres and we can just feel so overwhelmed. But this is about the work that the Father is wanting to do in each one of us. I noticed the other night whenever we were doing the introductions, several of the speakers met their challenge like I did, and that was by definitions. We were each given a title, and we each dug into those titles by looking at the definitions, because we want to communicate to you what Father is speaking to us. We want communication to be clear between you and I, but more importantly, between you and the Father. So my title is Uniquely Hard But Good. And I was one of those ones that Nancy talked about that has squirmed, because as soon as I saw that title, I thought, this is not going to be a good few weeks. Because it has been uniquely hard, but good. Unique, being the only one of its kind, unlike anything else. Hard, you know, that's something, that's a word we use so often, hard. And whenever I saw the definition of it, I thought, wow, that's interesting. Requiring a great deal of endurance or effort. Now, good's interesting, because that's kind of a blanket term. We use good all the time. And just think about the difference of this tastes good versus good for you. Those two concepts usually don't, like, travel together, do they? So, good, to be desired or approved of. Healthy, fine, sound, tip-top. Fit, robust, sturdy, strong, vigorous, pleasing, and welcoming, expressing approval, having the qualities required for a particular role, appropriate to a particular purpose, possessing or displaying moral virtue, showing kindness, commanding respect, giving pleasure, enjoyable, or satisfying. So much comes packed in that little word of good, but we can see by the definition that Father has so much in store for us whenever we go through uniquely hard times. I go back to the definition. He's creating us to be desired and approved of by him. He loves us. He has a plan and a purpose for our life, and uniquely hard things are to design us to go through and fulfill that purpose. Having the qualities required for a particular role. You know, I can see in my own life and the hardness that has entered into my life of being a mother of two adult boys, what it brings to my life, fresh in it, right in the midst of it. I'm not standing here as somebody who's saying this is what has happened. I'm saying this is what is happening in my life. It is uniquely hard, but I can stand here and say, Father is a good, good Father. Sarah just had to play that song. It makes me cry every time because he is. He's such a good, good Father. And, you know, so many times whenever we go through these hard places, like where I am right now, it's like, what's going on? What did I do? What happened? And I get so focused in on that, I forget to look up. I forget to look up and be reminded of who he's called me to be, who he's fashioning to me, because I can promise you, in the uniquely hard times, you find a new level of intimacy you have never, ever known. Intimacy, trust, faith, revival. Uniquely hard births revival, and I'm getting so ahead of myself. We will all face hardships, struggles, and conflicts. And they may be unique to us. There are things that I go through and I think, I know other people have been through this, but I'm going through this. These are my kids. These are my husband. This is my family. This is my job. You may be able to identify with me, but my struggle is unique. Yes, let me lay on the floor and wallow in my self-pity for a moment. We all do it. Come on. It's wrong, but we do it. But the awesome thing is you know what? It may be unique to me, but it's not unique to my good, good Father. I can feel isolated, and I can feel alone, and I can feel overwhelmed, and I can feel like nobody understands. But my good, good Father gets it. Nothing that I go through is unique to him. So this is a difficult journey. And don't worry, I'm not going to make you write a paper after all this is through. But we do have a little exercise that we're going to try. Now, if you will turn with me to Mark chapter 10 and be patient with me, because whenever it comes to reading scripture, I like to read a big block of it. You know, I can be given key scriptures, and that's awesome, and I love that, but I also love the context, you know, so we know what Father is speaking to us. So we're going to Mark 10. 17 through 29. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciple, "How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard is it for those trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. You know, I don't really want to communicate on the actual scripture, but the mood that is set in this scripture as Jesus is speaking. The seriousness of Jesus' words. But notice, they were said in love. You know, Jesus, sometimes Jesus has to say hard things to us. He really has to say hard things to me, especially whenever I get in my little pity party. But it's for love. All of his commandments are for our good. But so many times as we face hard times, we echo the cries of Peter and the disciples. What must we do to be saved? And I have left everything to follow you. You know, I love to hear the words of Jesus, but I always like to see what the disciples are doing around him. We see ourselves in the disciples. I see myself in the disciples. Because as I've been walking through uniquely hard times these past few years, I've thought about, Father, look what I've done. Look what I've left behind. Look what I've done. Look, can you hear the selfishness in my statement? Look what I have done. I have done nothing. My righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. Anything and everything that all of us has accomplished is by the Father's hand. And we all know that. But so many times in the depth of our soul, we cry, what is this thing salvation? What exactly do I have to do? And I have left everything to follow you. Now, we can be super spiritual in this moment right now, okay? You can be super spiritual in this moment right now and say, I have never doubted God. I have never been in unbelief. And here's the good one. Here's the good one. I have never been angry at God. Now, we can be in this moment and we can be super spiritual or we can be super real. Because what I am after, I am not after a religious activity where I stand and I say meaningless words that I don't really mean. I am looking for intimacy with my Maker. There is nothing more important than intimacy with Father. There is nothing more important than intimacy with Jesus Christ. There is nothing more important than intimacy with the Holy Spirit. We can go to conferences. We can watch them on TV. We can listen to CDs. We can do all of those things. We can do every Bible study there is. We can be full of knowledge, we can be full of the Word, and we can still be overwhelmed and not victorious. Victory is found with an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Intimacy. There is nothing more important than intimacy. And that's the reason why this Word is so important. That's the reason why prayer is so important. Because I am connecting with the Maker of the universe who created me, who fashioned me, who formed me to have a conversation. To have a conversation. You know, in this realm of ministry, I'll speak for myself. For so many years, I wanted to be equipped. For so many years, I wanted to learn. For so many years, I wanted to accomplish great things in the name of God. And then I learned none of that is important. None of it. The most important thing is intimacy with Jesus Christ. From that intimacy with Jesus Christ flows ministry. From that intimacy with Jesus Christ flows knowledge. From that intimacy with Jesus Christ flows wisdom and anointing. So many times we can so subtly get it turned. So many times the enemy can just slightly twist our perspective to where we are more focused on what we are doing than who we are doing it for. But it's in uniquely hard times that the Father adjusts the perspective. Doesn't feel good. It's painful. But whenever you realize what he's doing, that he's making those adjustments to your perspective so that you see this world more clearly, but so you also see him more clearly. Because I don't know about you. I know we are living in some vastly confusing, crazy times. And if I look through these eyes, set apart from intimacy with Jesus Christ, I can get really, really overwhelmed. But whenever I am intimate with the Father, whenever I am close with the Father, and I am seeing this world through his eyes, I get excited. I get excited. Don't we see, don't we understand that everything that we see, whether it be ISIS, whether it be terrorist attacks, whether it be who or who will not be president, every single thing is an opportunity for the body of Christ to wake up, to step up, and to answer the call of the groom. I'm just going to go ahead and like peel it away a little bit and just share my frustration. I'm tired of seeing a church seated. I'm tired of seeing a church seated, complaining, and talking about what is going on. It is up to you and it is up to me to stand up. It is so easy to say, well, brother so-and-so's not, and sister so-and-so's not, and my church is not. Maybe they're waiting on you. Maybe you are the one who is called to lead the charge. And if you're sitting there thinking, no, not me, then it is exactly you. Each and every one of us have a call that is deep down in our spirit, ready to come out for such a time as this. Awake, O sleeper, for the light of Christ shines upon you. That's been my prayer for the church. Awake, O sleeper. We can get angry. We can have righteous indignation. We can have all of those emotions. But without works, your faith is dead. So in uniquely hard times, it's a good time. It's a good opportunity to wake up. It's a good time. It's a good opportunity to sound the alarm. And it's an even better time to step up to the plate and do something. I was raised in a Methodist church, and I loved the Methodist church. It was a spirit-filled Methodist church. And we had a female pastor. And I'll never forget what she told me one time. Because of the proximity of where the church was, we got a lot of student pastors that came in. And it felt like we could never get traction. It felt like every time we started getting traction, here our pastor went and here came in somebody new. And I was voicing this to the pastor one day. And what she said has come back to my mind so many times as we have been going through these months And actually, these past years, a paralyzation due to who is in the White House. I'll never forget these words to me. She said, "Marley, Ann Hope United Methodist Church has got to learn how to function no matter who is in this pulpit." I apply that to the church. The church has got to learn how to function no matter who is in the White House. It's not about who is in the White House. It's about who is sitting upon the throne. And we have allowed this atmosphere to paralyze us, thinking, nothing we can do. Look who's in the White House. There's nothing we can do. Boy, so glad Daniel didn't think that. Really glad Daniel didn't think that. Really glad Jesus didn't think that. Wow. Jesus could have said, "Hey, look who's in the big house. I can't do anything." See, that's what we've got to learn, church, is we are called to uniquely hard times. And you know what the awesome thing is? We are the goodness in the midst of uniquely hard times. This lost world is groaning in anticipation for the sons of God. And if there's anything that I can do this day besides speak upon this topic, is to just stir your heart a little bit more. You may be in ministry. You may be doing what you're called to do. You may be fixing to step into ministry. But if there's one thing that I can do, can I just pour a little bit more gas on that? Can I just pour a little more gas on that? Man, I just want to drench you in it. I just want to drench you in it. Because if we blink, if we don't open our eyes and focus, we're going to miss one of the most beautiful times the church has ever experienced. I want to make a slight adjustment in our thinking about revival and awakening. Revival is not coming in here and having a really awesome service. I'm a child of the 80s. I remember the charismatic renewal. It was amazing and very active here in this area, and my parents would take me as a small child and drag me from church to church to church to all the meetings. The first time I was ever slain in the spirit was in Spartanburg whenever Benny Hinn came, and I was probably 10 years old, and he called all the kids to come running down because he was going to lay hands, and I stood there like, going down, I don't know what you're talking about. And at 10 years old, next thing I know, I'm laid out, and I look up, and I see my little white socks. First time I was ever slain in the spirit. So I remember those beautiful meetings. I remember what came forth from those meetings. And it was a beautiful time of renewal, but it was not revival. Revival does not start here. Revival starts here. It starts here. Awakening starts within me. Revival starts within you. It's whenever our heart is so compelled by the love of Christ, there is nothing else we can do but serve Jesus. And just like Jesus said, "As assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sister and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life." Jesus is pretty clear. We're going to give up things. We're going to go through uniquely hard times. But it is for our good, and it's not just for our good, but it is for the good of all of those around us. Because, church, there is a dying and lost world outside those doors. I saw the church last night. I saw the church last night. And it wasn't just in this event that we're doing. It wasn't in the music, and it wasn't in the prayer. It wasn't in all these things. I saw one young man who I have had interaction with that I know, and I know his past. And I saw him here standing right in the middle, and I stood back and I watched him, and I watched him lift his hands. And I know just 2 to 3 months ago, he was not a believer. He was lost. He came running up to me and looked me in the eyes, and I saw clarity, and I saw love, and I saw peace. And you know what else I saw? I saw the church. I saw the church. He is not bringing us together to have good meetings. He is bringing us together to set the captive free. And it's nothing like the words of Jesus to bring it in perspective. For Jesus to remind us, you're going to face persecution. You're going to face loss. But don't you worry, I got you back. In this age and the age to come. So oftentimes, in these hard, uniquely hard times that we go through, I've watched this with myself and I've watched it with others. Father is wanting to work something in me or out of me, usually my selfishness. And during those times, the enemy sees your vulnerability. And that's whenever he tries to hit. And you feel rejected, alone, angry, condemned. But it's in times like these, we don't just remember we're the church, but we remember we're sons. In Romans 8, it says, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Struggle is real. It's so easy to focus on the uniquely hard and not focus on the good. But what I always have to remind myself is I'm a son. We are sons. I know we are also daughters, but walk with me. We are sons of the living God. And I know it may almost feel like I am like beating a drum, and I am. I am beating a drum. I remember several years ago, the conference was War Cry, and that's coming back to my memory. This is a war cry. I want you to understand, you may have been walking with Father for a long, long time. You may have been in ministry for a long, long time. I've been in ministry for a while, and I'm speaking this to myself as well. We haven't laid it all down. We're not doing all we can to be. And this is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of it's time to wake up. It is time to take inventory. It is time to say, what, Father, can I do to respond in this hour, in this moment, within my church, within my community, within my state, within my country, and within my world? You know, there are no words, as I said before, that I can offer that will be a magic solution that causes you to rise above and conquer what attempts to crush you, but victory is found in a walk. Being an overcomer is found in a walk. And being a son is found in a walk of action, a walk with Jesus Christ. This is a walk of maturity. It's your own. It requires a great deal of effort and endurance, but it is good. It is producing within you that which he desires. He looks at you and says, "That's good. That's good." Sometimes I have to remind myself of that. What does uniquely hard but good bring to our lives? As I stated before, it brings intimacy. It brings intimacy with the Father, and it brings maturity. And I'm so appreciative that the conference is focusing on maturity, because I do think that is a right now word to the church, that it is time for us to recognize the places that we need to step into, that we have for so long been intimidated to step into. Because I don't care who you are, there is a place that you are intimidated to step into. There is a place that you can think of in your head that you feel a little resistance about wanting to go into that area. And so today, by the Spirit of the living God, I'm encouraging you to, just like Joshua, be very strong and courageous and put your foot in that place. It is time to take ground. For so long, we have been safely in our parameters. Church here, outside world there. Church here, outside world there. And it's time for those lines to be erased. The word that I keep on hearing in my spirit is it's time for an invasion. It's time for the children of God to invade dark places. Because as I go to prisons and as I work with other local ministries, there are plenty of dark places for us to invade. If we ever sit within the church and say, there's nothing that we can think of that we need to do for an outreach ministry, we have a problem. Whether you be in Alaska, whether you be in Louisiana, whether you be in South Carolina, there are people outside of our doors that need us. And I'm going to say something that will be very controversial. It's time to stop building programs and start building kingdom. So as I was sharing earlier that I am a mother of two boys that are 18 and 23. You know, I was there. Children's pastor. Took them to church every Sunday. Prayed over them. Prayed with them. The youngest, who's 18, I remember sitting in the foyer whenever he was 5 years old, leading him to Jesus. Still remember that like it was yesterday. One of the most beautiful moments of my life. And I've watched both of them grow up. And get involved with drugs and alcohol. Get in trouble with the law. I've watched both of them. And it's been uniquely hard. And in the midst of the church, I have felt like a unique failure as a parent. If you struggled with a child, you know that feeling. Most of the time, we wouldn't stand up here with a microphone and talk about what's going on in our household. But I'm telling you, it's time for the mask to come off. Thank you. The world out there needs to see the real in us. Confess your sins one to another. It's time for us to understand how real this thing is. What we are contending for is more real than this skin on our body. The things of the eternal are more real than the things that we see with these two eyes. And although I stand in a uniquely hard time, I stand with my Father. And the issues of my sons are not unique to Him. He knows because He holds the future in His hands. So in these uniquely hard times, one of the greatest lessons that I am learning right now is trust. We can say we trust the Lord. Walk through uniquely hard times and you will see where your trust is. At first, it's not a pretty picture, but it's something to be embraced and overcome. Because none of us have arrived. At prison, I teach it like this. Trust is believing that that person has your best intent at heart. We use these words all the time. I will trust in the Lord. But we understand what trust is. That whenever something comes my way and it hurts and it doesn't look right and it doesn't feel good, I trust that my Father has my best intent at heart. We'd cut out a lot of battles with trust. And I'm telling you, church, I can't tell you, I can't express it enough how Father, how Holy Spirit is just pushing upon my spirit to impress upon you the importance of the realness of this moment. That this isn't just a conference, this is a preparation. To understand that the days ahead require trust. It's necessary, just like the water you drink, trust is necessary in this walk. So I want to ask a question. What is the hardest thing you have ever asked a loved one to do for his or her own good? Anybody want to answer that? This is Mimi. She's from United.
The hardest thing is probably asking somebody to quit drinking, even though it hurts them and everybody around them.
Whenever you have to ask somebody to stop drinking, they may be drinking too much. I've dealt with several women in the community that are walking that out. Sometimes we have a tendency to look over alcohol abuse and not recognizing the pain. You know, it's so amazing. Words just roll off of our mouth, and we have no idea the depth of pain that people go through. We talk about drug abuse. We talk about alcohol abuse. You know, whenever I was young and I was going to all those conferences, I used to go to conferences in Ridgecrest, North Carolina, June Evans, Women of the Word, just all these different ladies, and I was probably in my 20s, and my kids were babies, and I used to watch the aisle, the altar, just be filled with women, and so many of them were crying and weeping for their children. And I'll tell you right now, in my heart, I thought, that won't be me. I'm praying with mine. I'm taking mine to church. I'm being real, okay? Let me pull the mask off. We ain't gonna get nowhere until we're real. I used to stand there and want, not gonna be mine. It's both of mine. Both of mine. We can do everything possible, but we are still going to go through hard times. And whenever we hit hard times and our first instinct is, whoa, wait a minute, I have done this, I have done that, guess what time it is? It's time to confront pride. And see, this is not a condemning message, because guess what? He created us in houses of flesh. It is just looking at the reality of what we deal with. It's not a time to be like, this happens to me, and so, man, I felt pride, and I'm a horrible person. No, that's grace. That's mercy. That's the blood of Jesus. That is whenever in my weakness, he's my strength. That's what's so awesome, is we never lose. We never lose. He has set us in seated places of authority where we never lose. The only place that we can lose is right here. If the enemy convinced you that you have lost, then you have lost. He didn't have to do a thing. We defeat ourselves. So in this moment of uniquely hard but good, I encourage you to trust like you have never trusted before, to have intimacy with your Father like you never have before. Now here's a really good question. What is the hardest thing God has ever asked you to do? Anybody want to answer that one? Fly? Well, share.
Yeah, I always had an extreme fear of heights, and I would even get vertigo and everything. And it was very, very, very bad, very debilitating. And then with this team, I was invited to go to Alaska, and I said, but I don't fly. God gave me victory, though, but it was rough, and I, even up to a few days before, I couldn't even go across the bridge. I couldn't go across a footbridge. I couldn't climb a ladder. I couldn't do anything. It was extreme bondage to fear. And the night before we were to leave, I still had not overcome, and the Lord gave me a song, and it was, I Believe I Can Fly. And I played that all night long. And I sung that all the way, starting out in the plane. And I started out in a puddle jumper, a little, 12, 14-seater, type thing. And praying in the Spirit, and that song playing within me. Couldn't look out the windows at first. After about the first half hour, I was able to start looking out. Well, the Lord set me free. And, buddy boy, he set me free big time, and I have no fear. The only thing I don't like about flying is going through security, because you got to almost strip off to your undies. But, yeah, that's the hardest thing the Lord ever asked me to do, because that was a childhood fear. But I'm more than a conqueror. I have no trouble flying now.
Amen. Wow. What an awesome testimony. Who else? What is the hardest thing? Yes, Debbie.
I guess the hardest thing for me was at a heartbreak at the same time as when I had to tell my oldest son that I didn't agree with his lifestyle because it didn't line up with the Word of God and he was believing a lie. That was so hard for me because we were very close and but I still loved him right on.
Amen. Wow, that is awesome. Well, there's a little activity that I want us to end with, because in these uniquely hard times, the one of the most important things that we need to have, as I have stated, is intimacy with Father. So if you will just take a sheet of notebook paper and pass that on. Because you're going to get a lot of good word here this weekend. Ain't no doubt about that. They got some awesome speakers. You're going to get good words. You can get the CDs. You can take them home with you. You can listen to them over and over and over again. But I want you to get your own word that you're going to write down and take with you in this moment. If anybody needs a pen, let me know. Need a pen? Need a pen? There you go. There you go, yes, ma'am. There you go, Ken. Yes, sir. Anybody else need a pen? No good? Okay, so remember the prayer from the beginning. We're in the throne room. We're standing before Daddy God. I'm going to read a little bit of scripture over you. I'm actually going to read chapter 2 from Ephesians over you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read Ephesians 2 over you. I just want you to just like bask in this word. This is Father's word over you. I want you to hear this word, listen to this word, and then I'm just going to give you some moments of silence to just meditate, to just be in his presence. And as he softly speaks to you, as he impresses upon you, just begin to write. Whatever it is, just begin to write. So Ephesians 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works so that one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised, but those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. So I'm going to give you about 5 minutes to just in silence, sit, meditate, think, and write. Okay. For some of y'all, that may be an everyday exercise. For some of y'all, that might have been a little new. I believe that Father is no respecter of persons. And whatever word he has shared with you, I can benefit from that word as well. So is there anybody that would like to share what Father gave them in these moments? Benefit the body. Anybody want to share?
To be strong and stay strong, you have to abide in me and me in you. Bask in my presence. Soak it up. It's not to be hurried. Covet your time with me. Prioritize me. Keep the first things first. This is not something that you can hurry up and do.
That's awesome. Okay, who else? Okay, Aline. Great.
Lord, once I was dead in my sins. When I think back on my life, I shudder to think where I would be today if you had not pursued me and saved me. I remember how my life had no peace, and even the times that I tried to take my life because of the sinful life I was leading, and how your Spirit was always there helping and leading me to you. I thank you for the peace which passes all understanding. Even in my hard times, in peace, I trust you. I thank you for saving my husband and changing his life and ultimately saving our marriage. Even long before I was saved, I saw your hand upon my life. Thank you, Lord, for my children's salvation. Though they're not walking as intimately with you as I'd like, I trust your word that if I bring them up in the way that they should go when they get old, they will not depart from it.
Beautiful, beautiful reminder. I'm going to share mine real quick, and then I want a few of you to share yours as well. Whenever I do this, I think, what is Father speaking to me in this moment? And he said, you are a chosen generation. Do you hear and understand the words that I speak? I have chosen you for such a time as this, and uniquely hard will be uniquely victorious. Know this time and the challenges set before you are by my design to lift you up and place you in a seat of authority with my son. Hear me in these times and know I am your light. Take my light and dispel darkness. Remember what I said. All things are possible, even the eradication of darkness, even the establishment of my kingdom. It is not only possible, it is finished. It is finished. Who else? I want somebody else to share what Father is speaking. This is such a time of intimacy, and times of intimacy produce. All right.
That's what I love.
anyway, I just on my heart, I said, thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place and wiping the slate clean and loving me no matter what, no matter what. Yes. And equipping me with the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome and to live in me and to never to leave me or forsake me and to share in the suffering mm-hmm. of hard times. Mm-hmm. That's what. And to rule and reign with you in eternity and with all the saints. And then it was just went blank.
I like that. It just went blank. Does anybody kind of struggle with that, like praying and hearing? I mean, I think we all go through seasons where we really can struggle with that, and that's whenever these exercises such as this are really important. It almost feels like you want to pull away from that, but actually we want to press into that so that we can hear, because that's one thing that we really need to learn, and I need to learn about uniquely hard places are not to be stepped back from, but actually to be pressed into. Because as the light, I am pressing into darkness. Light overtakes darkness. And as long as I just stand where I'm comfortable, this light is not overtaking darkness. I have got to press into uniquely hard places to bring the goodness of His light. Does anybody else want to share? Yes.
Now that I've condensed it just a little bit. Anyway, where he started with me was really very much like the song we sang earlier about who I am and who he is. And I don't know that I've given a lot of thought to that in the last few days, weeks, I don't know. But the bottom line was, after he reviewed with me where I was in the heavens with him, he said, "Where will you take Jesus, Mary? Will you pick and choose the places, or can I go everywhere without reservation? Where you go?" And after that, I didn't write it down, but I thought, it's probably one of the hardest places that I go is in my den with my husband. That's where we do all of our talking, good, bad, and indifferent. And that's where I sit and watch some of the things that he watches that haunt me sometimes. I mean, I've just decided I'm not doing it anymore, not listening to some of the things. They do affect me tremendously. So that's where some of the biggest changes are coming in my relationship at home.
Now, that's powerful, and I believe that if we would show this to the outside, there would not be an empty seat in this place. Amen? Well, I thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed my time with my brothers and sisters in Christ. It was a real blessing to be with you. I believe the team is now going to minister to you as well.